We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, congratulations. You made it. You did it. Your weekend is upon you, staring you in the face. Happy Friday, Bill Ryder with you, still in beautiful New York City. Had a very New York morning. And depending on your perspective, it would either reinforce why this is the city that is the greatest in the world or the place you want to avoid, except for the weekend you come every 5 years and go to a show. I might even share it with you later in the program. What a weird, weird AM. But we have a lot of things we're going to get into, some serious, some not as serious. An update on Richard Sherman. We'll talk about that. Since that news came down, I personally have listened to the 911 recording of his wife calling the police, seen the video, compliments of the excellent executive producer of the show, Thomas DeBenedetto. Did I say DeBenedetto? It's the first one. And it was a mistake because I said excellent. So I should have known it was DeCelestino. Just kidding, other Tom. D-Cell. Sherman, the video of Sherman trying to break into allegedly, but if you see the video, it's hard to throw the allegedly in there, even though allegedly is pretty intense. So we'll hit that later in the show. Tom Brady playing through an injury last year that, if true, does not bode well for every other team in the NFL this year, since presumably he will be healthy. Russell Wilson is a pretty amazing athlete and fast. So when you talk about someone walking something back, he actually just turned and ran in the opposite direction from the actual problem he created. We will hold his feet to the fire. Joe Theismann, our buddy, going to be on the show by herself. Bum of the week, a lot of things to get into over the course of the next couple hours. As always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Several of you, man, you guys love the Facebook. Several of you hit me up yesterday, enjoying the fact that I wore shorts for the first time in my life to a work event. And I didn't even know yesterday that technically wasn't allowed in the old regime. Andrew Bogish, who's not here today, let me know. So I wore shorts again today. So we got like a rebellion Friday, pushing back against the rules kind of Friday. And maybe we will open with a rebel of sorts, at least behind the scenes. Chris Paul has always done things his way at every stop. And that has brought him a number of accolades and a remarkable career to date. And it's also brought him a serious number of detractors. And I'm one of those guys, having reported on and experienced the authentic reality of who he is behind the scenes. It's fine. You want to be edgy? You want to be hard on people? Part of the deal. But he now faces a situation, whether you think it's fair or it's not fair, in which tomorrow's Game 5 of the NBA Finals, series knotted up at 2-2, Milwaukee-Phoenix, two teams, two organizations, two cities, long-suffering with great sports fans, who are each two wins away from not just an NBA championship, but bringing to those cities and those organizations and people like Chris Paul the kind of championship that changes everything. I'm always interested in sports fans who there's this divide. Those of us that live in markets or root for teams where we never win anything, and when it happens, it feels so rare and so beautiful. And those who have been lucky enough to be born into or find their way to true and genuine fandom of teams or cities that win again and again and again, and their joy is absolute as well. They just expect it. It's different. I come from the former. I come from the University of Missouri fan base, the Chicago Cubs fan base. I'm a guy who doesn't experience a lot of success with my sports teams. And so I find myself really excited for Phoenix and for Milwaukee and for all that's on the line. But beyond all of that, look, Devin Booker wins, big deal. And he'd probably be the finals MVP if the Suns get it done. Probably. We'll see. Giannis, and what it can mean for his legacy, incredible. But this is a particularly important game tomorrow for Chris Paul because his entire legacy, every way in which we view him, and this is the reality of winners and losers, how we view his successes and his failures, how we judge who he was as a teammate, whatever the truth of the matter is, it will be reshaped and recast, and it will be made forever, etched into some mountainside, one way or the other, based on what happens, I think, in tomorrow's game. Suns lose tomorrow. The series is over, guys. It's over. Milwaukee, 8-1 at home, and you lose three in a row, that momentum is going to catch up to you. It is, with a young team. And I'll say this, too. Chris Paul and his teams have been up before. He has blown a 3-1 series lead with those Clippers that were near favorites, right? One of the contenders a long time ago against the Houston Rockets. He then later went to the Houston Rockets and got up 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors. I know he got hurt, but nonetheless, that's how close he was to the prize. And in this series, Suns are up 2-0. Everything about Chris Paul will be defined, his entire career, by tomorrow. And you can make the argument that it's not fair. Probably true. Life isn't fair. Real life, the things that matter aren't fair. Certainly sports can be arbitrary, and they can come down to these moments. I'd also argue that that's kind of the way it goes. If Chris Paul had not played an absolutely abysmal game in Game 4, and even if he had just not played an abysmal second half, and really just that fourth quarter where he was continuing to be awful, had he found a way to just play good basketball, let alone the great basketball that a guy like him, Hall of Famer, and I've said this before, I personally think in the regular season, he is the best point guard I've ever seen since Isaiah Thomas. And that spans my adult life. Better than Nash, better than whoever you want to throw out, Gary Payton, whoever it is. So get it done, man. Go out there and get it done. Chris Paul closed out on his own in incredibly, incredibly impressive fashion several of the games that got his team to this series. Had, 47 in the closeout in the semifinals, or 49, whatever it was. The most points Chris Paul has ever scored, ever, consecutively, in back-to-back games in his entire career, happened in this postseason. The last game, the clinching game of the conference semifinals, and the first game of these NBA finals. He's able to do it. But the pressure is starting to bear down on the guy. You can feel it. And D-Cell made, a really interesting point this morning. Asked me, what level of difficulty, of struggle, of challenge have the Suns really gone through this year? And in some ways, I guess you can make the argument, I wouldn't make it, but there's an argument, well, they had the second best record in the NBA. Nobody believed in them. It's different in the regular season. The answer is the first round of these playoffs was the real struggle and the real test. Got down 2-1 against the Lakers, but Anthony Davis got hurt. He got hurt. You could counter that with, in the second round of the playoffs, Chris Paul missed a couple games because he was in the COVID health and safety protocols, and that Devin Booker stood up. But the reality is that this is not a Suns team that's been through anything that can even remotely, emotionally, pressure-wise, simulating the experience, prepare them for what they went through in Milwaukee and what they're going to go through in Game 5 in Phoenix. The only person on this basketball team, the only person that has been through the failures and the tribulations and the difficulties and has the chance to have learned the lessons you have to learn through all that is Chris Paul. Because he has failed a lot of times in his career. He's too good of a player, too dynamic of a player, to have only been to the NBA Finals now in this moment. And he has played badly with the opportunity to have closed it out. I know that game four was not a closeout game. If the Suns win the game, they win the series. Period. Period. Only one team has ever come back in the NBA Finals from a 3-1 deficit, and the team that did that had LeBron James. And with all respect to Giannis and Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and Pat Connaughton, you could add those guys up. You can literally add those guys up, and they're not LeBron James. They're not. Get to 3-1 against the Bucks and you win. Game was tied at halftime in game four. Devin Booker was cooking. You had an opening. You had a window. And Chris Paul laid an egg. And that's not the term that I'm thinking in my head. It's just the radio term that I'm allowed to use. And so tomorrow, where it's going to be 109 degrees, in that arena in Phoenix, with those fans, because I was at games one and two, who are rabidly obsessed with this moment and this opportunity, knowing, and Chris Paul has to know, that this is it. It's the last chance. Giannis is going to have other chances. He's too good not to. The Bucks, who have locked him up to a contract, are going to have other opportunities. At least real belief, realistic belief, they have a chance to get back to a finals. I'm not saying you should take it for granted, but it's different for those guys. Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, this young core in Phoenix, they have the GM that they need in James Jones. Hell of a job. They have the coach they believe in and they need in Monty Williams. They have the future superstar who's only 24, who has shown, unlike Chris Paul, a fearlessness in these moments in Devin Booker. They're going to have opportunities. They're going to be contenders. This is it for Chris Paul. This is it. Let's say that he comes back to Phoenix next year. You can't count on Anthony Davis getting hurt again. You can't count on Jamal Murray not being available for Denver. You can't count, I know he didn't play all of these teams. You can't count on Kawhi Leonard, if he's a Clipper, not being in that series. And so not having to face, at some point, a real Clippers team. You can't count on Utah not learning from the lessons that were there in this failure this past year, this season we're in now, and applying them next season. It's going to be a hard road. This is it. I don't believe in asterisks and championships. I can point you to a lot of championships for a lot of teams and say, but it doesn't matter. Elijah Wan has rings. The Rockets have rings. Doesn't matter that Michael Jordan wanted to play baseball. Doesn't matter. LeBron accomplished what he accomplished for Cleveland. It was awesome. It does not matter whatsoever that Draymond Green kicked somebody where the sun didn't shine and shouldn't have. I mean, you can go across all sports. You can. The Astros cheated. They're still the world champions, and they'll be regarded as such in 10 years when people like me are the only ones talking about it. It's not quite the same thing, but the Falcons, I'm sorry, Atlanta fans, the Falcons don't have a Super Bowl to their name because one of the great offensive minds, now the head coach in San Francisco, didn't know that he could run the ball, wasn't aware that you're allowed to run the football. There's all these things that happen along the way. Luck is a part of greatness. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter the reasons. Chris Paul and his team did not have the kind of road that they should have had. And at every step of the way until now, faced a team in this postseason missing its best player or its second best player. That's it. That's the deal. That's the reality. This is the opportunity. It counts if you can take it. And if Chris Paul can't take it, he is the most talented guy in the NBA in his generation who failed because of himself. Because he turned teams off, because he couldn't close out series, because he couldn't win in that game four. People may not remember that game four specifically, right? There's so much that goes on in sports. They're not going to remember it the way we remember the 28-3 halftime lead for the Falcons against the Patriots. But they're going to know Chris Paul was the guy that couldn't get it done. And even though life isn't fair, I think this is. Because sports, it's not psychology, it's not literature, it's not open-ended, it's not open to interpretation, it's not art. It is incredible and pure, and we love it, I think, in large part because we can measure it, right? It represents the competitiveness of the human spirit and all that cheesy garbage, which actually isn't garbage. Chris Paul leads his team to a victory tomorrow, or gets lucky because luck's part of it, and Devin Booker gets it done. And the Suns go on to win this series. The guy has one of the great careers of this era. At a time when the rings have been hogged by a handful of guys and a handful of teams less than that, Chris Paul was able to break through. And to go to a Phoenix team that had been a perennial loser, and his mere presence turned him into a champion, that makes him a champion, and he'll be celebrated on a plane that is reserved for the all-time greats. He will be. If the Suns lose tomorrow, And if they lose tomorrow, it will be because Chris Paul probably does not play well. He is one of the great talents who squandered his greatness because of his personality and his lack of leadership and the fact that he could not handle the stress and the angst and the reality and the pressure of the culture and the expectations he built for his own teammates that then crushed him. That's what's on the line tomorrow in one game. I don't like lying to you. Part of me really enjoys the idea of Chris Paul just turn into a handful of dust before our eyes because I don't like him. But even more than that, I want greatness, actual greatness, to be rewarded. I do. I want to see it. I don't really like Clayton Kershaw. I know you're supposed to pretend in LA that he's a great guy. I don't really know him. Don't like him. Been around him twice. Don't dislike him. Just not a fan. Love seeing him get it done. Love seeing him get it done. I did. I don't care at all about the Angels. Could not care less about the Angels. I really want to see Mike Trout make the playoffs, win a World Series. I'm in. Not a Chiefs fan. Patrick Mahomes winning that Super Bowl season and a half ago after that breakthrough and that MVP was awesome because I feel like I get to see some greatness. I don't like Tom Brady. And I have to admit, even though I'm a Mahomes fan, I was in awe of what he did last year in the Super Bowl. I was in awe, and I realized to be able to see it is magic. I'd love to see Chris Paul get it done. I'd love to see the Suns get it done. And I'm aware that when I watch that game tomorrow, all of us will be watching a single moment, 48 minutes, that will define the entirety of a career like Chris Paul's. And that kind of pressure, those kind of expectations, those kind of stakes, that for me is what makes sports incredible. I hope they get it done. But it will be defined entirely by whether or not Chris Paul can handle his whole career coming down to one game. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. I'm Bill Ryder. The lines are open. Give us a call. Say hey. We're going to hit a little NFL news. And then I'm just going to share with you because I'm interested in it. My bizarro New York City morning next here on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back into the show. That is totally true, by the way. I am so bad at trivia. I freeze. I'm like Chris Paul. Career-defining moments. But there's hope for each of us to overcome it. Man, I like D-Cell's got a little music game. One of the things I love about this place is you'd never know who people are based on looking at them, people that have produced me, right? You would never know that Stuart Kovacs is basically a modern-day Romeo. I didn't know. You would never know that Ryan Hickey is an above-the-net sand volleyball player. I didn't know that. Or that Tom DiBenedetto went to an Ivy League school. I mean, there's a lot of things you can't see when you look at somebody. The fact that D-Cell is a maestro of music with an eclectic range of taste at a high level, not something I would have guessed. To be fair, I don't look like someone that would be on the CBS Evening News. I've got a face for radio and a voice for writing, but here we are. There's a chance I'll be on there this evening. You might see me. talking about Richard Sherman, and we'll just give you the update here. There's not a take, right, that exists, because I don't have all the information, but I can tell you what I know and what my reaction is. Richard Sherman arrested and for accusations of burglary domestic violence, which is to say trying to break into the home of a family member is automatically labeled a domestic violence violation in Washington in that state. He was also charged with driving under the influence, hit and run, some other unfortunate things. He did not appear in court yesterday. His attorney did. He was released on bail. There is now a video and a 911 tape. The tape is of Richard Sherman's wife calling the police. And it feels intrusive. Public. It's a public document. It is what it is. The video is scary. It is. It is Sherman in the video trying to break down his in-law's door. His father-in-law has told media members, I believe it was the Associated Press, that he wrestled with and had to use pepper spray on Richard Sherman to calm him down. And Richard Sherman's wife has said no one was injured, no one was hurt. This isn't who he is. That's what we know so far. The charges appear to have been, because they could have been felonies in some cases, have been lowered to misdemeanors. And that certainly gives the National Football League some wiggle room if they want to make an opportunity for Richard Sherman to play. Now, Sherman's a free agent, and he's not the player that he was in the past. He only played, what, 5 games last year? But he's obviously a household name for sports fans, a very talented player, and it's a very unfortunate circumstance. And that's what I got for you. That's what I know. You know, anything that has to do with absolute wrong in terms of if it happened, but uncertainty in the context and the details is difficult to talk about. There is no excuse for domestic violence. There's not. There is no excuse, and this is not a Richard Sherman thing. It's just as a part of my point, there's no excuse for sexual violence. There's no excuse for racism. There's no excuse for misogyny. But the accusations alone should not and are not, for me, enough to lead to someone going to prison or destroy a career. I don't know enough about the Sherman thing. I will say this. Having seen the video, highly problematic. And the idea and the notion that Sherman may not play in the NFL this year, out of a combination of the little that I know, the severity of the accusations based on what I know, and the reality that he's not the player that he used to be, we're going to see. Other breaking news, which I think is interesting, on a whole other end of the spectrum here, Tom Brady is reported to have had an MCL injury going back to his Patriots days and then was progressively worse last year. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I didn't stay at one of those hotels last night. I actually did stay at a hotel, just not the one from the commercial. And the fact that Embiid was able to play with a knee injury, a significant one, and play so well in the playoffs, and that it looked like Giannis' season was over, and as he said, he thought the next 12 months of basketball were over and played, makes me redefine my own mind the level to which these injuries maybe can be graded. But still, he's had surgery. Presumably he will heal. That is terrifying. I mean, if some of his lack of mobility, if some of his struggles were just the fact that he was playing on a torn MCL at his age, and that is alleviated and fixed, if he can be better or at least look younger, it's terrifying, terrifying thought. Marco Belletti is hanging out. Marco, can I tell you about my New York morning, and you can tell me whether or not, I can't decide if this makes me love New York or ready to leave in a week.
Okay, let me hear it.
All right, so I wake up to the sound. I thought it was actually an earthquake because we have those in LA. I didn't know where I was when I woke up. It was just the beauty of construction outside my window, basically, shaking my building. It was really nice. I'm on the 13th floor, lucky 13, could still hear the construction. I'm like, that's okay. It's not a big deal. Pretty tired, Marco. I'm not D-cell over here. I need caffeine straight into a vein before I can speak to anyone, right? So went to the coffee shop where they charge $15 for a latte or whatever the hell it is. I'm not going to tell you that I don't mind because I'm on an expense account. If you don't tell anyone, though, I'll tell you. Thank you, Viacom CBS, for the large vanilla latte. And there are two tourists. And I'm not even a New Yorker. Let me ask you this first. Am I allowed to be angry at tourists as someone who doesn't live here anymore?
Yeah, because you used to live here. You lived here long enough.
I'm there every morning, right? You walk in, there's a little bit of a line, you make your order quickly, there's only one person making the lattes, and we understand that there's a system. We're a community, and we're in this together, and you've got, I'm going to judge these people now, you got mom and daughter tourists, they're both in these, like, shirts, right? The, like the kind of shirt, my daughter's almost 12. Any shirt she wears has to cover her belly, right? You got mom and daughter wearing the shirts that aren't allowed in the Ryder household that I just don't, that are matching outfits that I don't need in shades, right? Inside the building in giant shades. And I'm not joking, dude. 11 minutes to make their order. Like, I actually want the latte with the decant. What are the kinds of foam? You're going to order a quarter foam? Just like go foam or no foam. And then they get in a conversation, the two, you know, mom and daughter, about what kind of substance they want to make their muffin. Do they want water? Do they want gluten free? I don't know what's happening. And there's an older New York couple in front of me that is staring daggers into these two people. I've never seen octogenarians like just brawl, like go full UFC, but I almost saw it today. And they just had, there was enough time that three different people walked in behind me, were there, went, threw up their hands and walked, three of them. So that was, you know, I got my coffee an hour later. That was, and D-Cell's like, where are you? Are you coming to work today? And I just wrote, long coffee line. So that was nice. That was, oh, and whenever her thing came out, she literally went back and made them take some of the foam off because it wasn't enough foam.
Oh.
And then on the walk in, I saw a dead rat. And that's basically my New York morning. There's a lot going on, a lot of party.
The dead rat is just standard, so you're going to have to live with that one. That's tough.
On the sidewalk? I've never seen one on the sidewalk before.
By our building? You're lucky it wasn't alive and running towards you, trying to get it at your ankle.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, that happens all the time, right by our building. Oh yeah,
yeah, it does.
Charlton, that's the rat haven right over there. I would say for your coffee, you're a better man than me because I would have walked whatever two blocks this way or that way. I would have found another place. 2 seconds in, I would have been gone. There's no way. I can't handle any of that nonsense. There was once, I'll give you real quick. There was one. I had a woman with a kid. I got a 7-year-old. I got a 1-year-old. I get it. Kids are tough sometimes. Honey, what would you like? This went on, no joke, Bill, for it had to be 3 minutes. And the girl's just not answering her. She finally gets her a donut. This is not what I wanted. The girl starts throwing a fit. And the mother, oh, wait, which one do you want, honey? I turned around and left. I'm sorry. Honey, are you kidding me? Pick a donut. Pick a coffee. Whatever you get. Get out of here.
Oh, you're a better person than me because I would have said, ma'am, excuse me, you're a bad mother and a bad person. Get out of my way. At that point, it's you know, no. Because you have kids, right? You just know at about, I don't know your threshold. For me, it's the 12-second threshold. At 12 seconds of that, it's okay. You're not getting anything, and we're letting these people go ahead of us in line. Then you pull them outside and get down and have a little conversation, right? It's called parenting.
12 seconds is probably a bit much. If I ask you a second time and I don't hear an answer, you get nothing. You can cry all you want. We leave. We'll talk about it in the car, but we're getting whatever I'm there to get. You get whatever that is, the 5-6 seconds that I ask you twice, I don't get a response, it's over.
You don't mess around.
I mean, that's just how you learn.
No donut, and when you're walking them to look at the dead rat and be like, look, the world's a mean place. Get your donut.
And not for nothing. If I'm giving you a donut, I'm already parent of the year. Now you don't answer me, you get nothing. That's on you. That's how you learn. That's how the world works.
I mean, what kind of I will judge New York a little bit. Here are the three different ways we can make your muffin with the water and the sparkling water and the milk. I hadn't had caffeine yet, so I got maybe 2 out of every 3 words. But it was definitely a lot of choices in how to make the muffin. How about you bring this person a muffin and get them the hell out of the building? How's that sound as a plan? How about you give them a free muffin to go away?
You're better than me, man. I would have been out of there in 2 seconds. Once they would have started with, how do you make the muffin? I'm gone.
I mean,
how do you make? Who cares how you make the muffin? Get the muffin. Get the hell out of here.
This is a tourist to me. I'm in the East Village. I'm sure there's coffee shops around, but I'm a creature of habit. I don't know where they are, right? I just want to, like, get my freaking coffee and drink it on my walk to the radio studio so I'm awake for the radio show, right? I don't want to have to go find some coffee shop. And then what will happen is, if I go to another coffee shop and there's another set of tourists there, a mom and daughter lookalike combo, then I'm going to lose my brain. And then I'm just, like, getting arrested. For throwing a fit in a coffee shop. Anyway.
What happened to Bill? Arrested coffee problems.
Coffee arrested. Something about mom and daughter. We're not really sure, but it certainly sounds weird. How are you, buddy? How's everything good?
Yeah, can't complain. I didn't have any coffee issues this morning, so making it in my living room and I'm feeling good.
I do miss making it. It's so easy when you can just make the coffee in your kitchen. All right, what's shaking out there in the world of sports?
All right, we're sponsored this time by Credit Karma Money. Open your free FDIC-insured account with no minimum balance, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals. Go to creditkarma.com. Golf.com. You got round two at the Open going on now. Colin Morikawa has a 2-shot lead. He's at 9-under. He's in the clubhouse. He had a great day. He was 6-under for the day. Now, round one leader Louis Oosthuizen birdied his first hole, leaves him at -7. Four others are sitting at 6-under. That includes Jordan Spieth, who is through three. For the first time since late April, we saw a Major League Baseball game had to be postponed due to COVID-19. That was the Yankee and Red Sox series, a 4-game set coming out of the break that was supposed to be last night. Instead, you got 6 players testing positive for the Yankees. Aaron Judge, reportedly the biggest name, of course, the most troubling considering he came back from the All-Star game from Denver as well. So all those players need to go through the contact tracing, which as of now, we have not had any further tests, but still set for later. We'll find out, I guess, more. For the Yankee Red Sox series, nobody seems to know what's going on there.
Are we playing a doubleheader tomorrow? Are we playing tomorrow? And I was just talking to one of our pitchers, kind of trying to walk through our pitching plan moving forward, and it's basically up in the air because I have no directive right now as far as what's next.
That was a pretty frustrated Aaron Boone with Carton and Roberts on WFAN in New York yesterday. We'll see what the day brings and if they're going to play tonight at all. One other note for the Bigs, the Braves made a move to help them in the second half. They acquired outfielder Jock Peterson from the Cubs for minor league first baseman Bryce Ball. Latest on the Richard Sherman situation is this. Judge ordered free agent Corner to be released from jail without bail on suspicion of trying to break into his in-law's house in Seattle. Now, some of the conditions of Sherman's release: can't have contact with his father-in-law, can't consume alcohol or non-prescription drugs, and he cannot possess a weapon. Team USA has had their struggles, a couple losses in the exhibition. Now they lost Bradley Beal for the Olympics. He tested positive for COVID-19. Jeremy Grant's also in the health and safety protocols, but he might be able to return in time for the games. Their exhibition for Australia is set for tonight. That's been canceled. NFL news: deadline came and went for the players on the franchise tag, to sign that long-term deal. The only one who was able to come to terms as the Panthers, getting tackle Taylor Moten to reportedly sign a 4-year deal at $72 million. And Bill, you just talked about this a few seconds ago. The legacy of Tom Brady continues. He reportedly played all of last year on a torn MCL and still led the Bucs to the Super Bowl and picked up that 7th ring in the process.
Yeah, dude, he's insane, man. By the way, I have a little context. I want to say something nice about New York, and it may give context to my mood. I did have the best cocktail I think I've ever had in my life at a New York speakeasy yesterday. And then I had several more of them. So to be fair, I was not necessarily in a giving place today with my time. Just to be fair. This is good. I'll take 4 more of these, please. Thank you.
You sound like me the other night when I had a burrito and I was like, man, this is the best burrito I've ever had. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe it's because I haven't eaten all day. Because I was scarfing that thing down. I was like, oh God, this is the best thing I've ever had. My wife's looking at me like, are you serious?
The food here,
oh,
man.
Oh yeah, I haven't eaten in 20 hours. Might be the blood sugar problem. Oh yeah.
I mean, look, you could look at me. If you could see me, you'd know it's true. But in a normal place in LA to go get a slice of pizza, I just go to John's on Bleecker and order a large pepperoni and I just eat the whole thing for breakfast after the show. I guess it's technically lunch here. The food's so good, man. I'm going to go home. There's going to be 2 of me. Lori's going to be like, oh, you've doubled in size. It's so good to see you. Have a great week. Oh, no, I'll talk to you in an hour. I don't know why I tried to say goodbye to you. I'll talk to you in an hour, Marco Belletti.
You got it.
All right, pal. Later. Thanks, dude. Marco Belletti with the update. Let's talk Russell Wilson and his attempts to walk back his very significant part in the drama between himself and his organization. We'll do that next year on CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
It is Friday. Bill Ryder with you. Writer Than You, what's going on? Tomorrow on CBS, a huge day and night of sports begins on the court at 2 Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific for the second weekend of Big 3 basketball. That will be followed at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific by final round golf coverage of the LPGA Dow Great Lakes Invitational. Then at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, it's Superstar Saturday night and the Battle of the Elliots in Nashville as reigning NASCAR champion Chase Elliott enters the field to duel with his dad, Bill, at the season finale of the Camping World SRX Series. That's all Saturday on CBS. Phone number here on the show, if you want to give us a call, 855-212-4CBS. Russell Wilson's an interesting guy, right? Kind of a goofball, I like his story. I like where he came out of. Transfers, goes to Wisconsin, undersized, clearly underdrafted, given his talent. Super Bowl winner, lost a Super Bowl on a single play. Married Ciara, which, you know, good for that guy. And you would think had won the battle of the jealousies and the politics and the competitiveness that certainly happens even within organizations. Seth Wickersham, old college buddy of mine, great ESPN writer, friend of this show, had written a few years ago, heading into that NFL season, that there was a huge schism between the Legion of Boom and those guys and Russell Wilson. Everyone denied it. Seth is a great reporter. Turned out it was true. And they moved that Legion of Boom and a lot of those guys out. Now, a lot of that's because they had, you know, give Pete Carroll and the Seahawks credit. It was time. It's hard to move on from legends and icons, but you have to in a sport like football, where 1 year can make the difference between you are a difference maker and you are a problem, you are a hindrance. And they just kept on cruising. But apparently there's still some difficulties, a little diva-ness with Russell Wilson. But yesterday, we've talked about it, right? Oh, Russell Wilson, Seattle, and is he going to get traded or force a trade? Are they open to that? What are the problems? Wednesday, the Seahawks quarterback went on Dan Patrick's show, and we'll just play it for you here, but said, no, there's, you know, this is much ado about nothing.
You know, we just had a dialogue, a conversation, and you know, I think it definitely blew out of proportion in terms of the moment and what it became. It was a little unfortunate, but I think more than anything else, you know what I care about? I care about winning. You know, that's what I want to do. You know, so anyways, it's been a great offseason. My teammates and I, we've spent a lot of great time getting the work in, spending the time together.
Is your relationship different with the Seahawks?
I would say it's stronger. I mean, I think me and Pete have gotten even closer. Okay. I mean, we've always been super close. So I think, you know, we got to have a great heart-to-heart. And just, he's got goals. I have goals. You know, we want to do great things.
I mean, that is always the cop-out answer. How's your marriage? I mean, Lori's got goals. I've got goals. She has things that she likes in the world. I have things. That's not an answer. And so I was thinking, like, maybe I've lost my brain. It's been a weird year. I thought there was a point where Russell Wilson at great length complained about his protection and the sacks and used, you know, fairly I'm the boss terminology, like unacceptable and this has got to change and this can't happen. And then D-Cell reminded me, because he's a really good producer, Bill, you're not crazy, or at least not about this. Back in February on the same show, Russell Wilson definitely went full complain mode.
You never want to be sacked that many times. You know, 400 times up basically is way too many, 400 too many. So I think that's a big thing that we got to fix. That's got to be fixed, you know, and has to be, you know, at the end of the day, because you know, my goal is to play, you know, 10 to 15 more years. And so when you think about that and longevity and legacy and all that, you know, you watched the game the other night, you know, the difference between that game was, you know, Tom was taking shots down the field and getting the ball, you know, to his guys and stuff like that. But, you know, he wasn't touched really. He got touched. I think he got sacked one time in the game.
And look, I understand that. When you see something happen in your sport and you think that that something can apply to you and lead to a higher level of excellence, you're going to ask for it. You are. Part of the reason Aaron Rodgers is going through his drama, everybody watches Tom Brady and thinks, what the hell? Brady can do this in his 40s. I can do it. Did Russell Wilson 2 days ago say this has all been blown out of proportion?
Yeah, I think it's definitely blown out of proportion in terms of the moment and what it became.
Got it. Thank you, Russ. And Russ, the thing that was blown out of proportion, is there any chance it was blown out of proportion by your own words a few months earlier?
You never want to be sacked that many times. You know, 400 times up basically is way too many, 400 too many. It's a big thing that we got to fix. That's got to be fixed, you know, and has to be.
It's got to be fixed. It has to be fixed. It was blown, if not out of proportion, to a big story, because it doesn't matter always what you say. It matters how you say it. I think the thing that's really interesting about this for me is that Russell Wilson's not wrong. He's not wrong. He's just, to quote the Big Lebowski, a jerk face. Oh, I don't think that's the actual term that they use. Being sacked that many times is not acceptable. At times, the lack of targets and weapons in that receiving core has not been helpful. And that has been, and not really last year, but there have been several seasons in the last four seasons where Russell Wilson has been the leading rusher on his football team, which is certainly a byproduct of his own athletic excellence, but it's also been a byproduct of the fact that he has not had time in the pocket. It has collapsed way too often, and he's had to just hoof it. And it's one thing if you don't have the arm or the pocket presence or the ability to succeed in the National Football League time and again without running the football as a quarterback, right? And that's a question we're going to have in Arizona with Kyler Murray. It's a question we're going to have certainly in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. We're not and don't have it with Russell Wilson. So I understand the guy's frustration. He has been sacked too many times. He probably has not gotten the credit that he deserves for being able to overcome those deficiencies. And the way to discuss it and the person to talk to about it are the folks who are in Seattle. You don't go on some radio show. And look, you want to go on a radio show and cause problems, please come on this radio show. I don't want to say you don't go on a radio show. You can. Probably not a great idea. Probably not the move that you want to make. And I understand if you're Russell Wilson and you're looking at Tom Brady, and this is how guys break leagues and change rules. Tradition doesn't matter to the players that are actual stars as much as what they see in the moment. It's why if you're Nebraska football, I'm just going to pick on Nebraska football, it does not matter the way you regard yourself and your very storied history. It matters the way that 14 and 15 and 16-year-olds regard you as they become 17 and 18-year-old recruits. The present is the thing that is going to shape most sports. It doesn't matter if over time, Jordan, the Wizards notwithstanding, and Magic and Kobe and whoever else you want me to throw in there, played for the most part for one team, right? The true stars played for a single team. It doesn't. What matters is LeBron James has honored his contract and played in three different places. And therefore, so will Kevin Durant. And therefore, so will Kawhi Leonard. It doesn't matter if the NFL hasn't, for the most part, been a league where the dominant quarterback of his generation or even a given season can just decide to pick up and move and just take his greatness with him and bring, literally in Tom Brady's case in Tampa Bay last year, a Super Bowl with him. Doesn't matter if that wasn't the thing in the past. And there aren't really any good example. I mean, Peyton Manning wasn't wanted in Indianapolis. He didn't say, I'm leaving because I don't want to be here. They said, we're going to suck for luck. It's time to move on. We're not so sure about your neck injury. Joe Montana, who actually did not take the Chiefs to a Super Bowl, but might have had not got hurt back in 94 or whatever year that was, is the only other comp that I can really think of. Because that guy wasn't, he didn't leave of his own accord. They decided correctly that it was Steve Young time. And I know that there was a problem and a schism, a little bit of bad blood between the Patriots and Tom Brady, but Brady was like, I'm out of here. Like, I want to leave as much as you obviously don't want to treat me the way I want to be treated. And so you're Aaron Rodgers, you're Russell Wilson, you're a veteran, right? This doesn't apply to the younger guy. Josh Allen loves where he is, future's bright. Patrick Mahomes loves where he is, future's bright, just made a Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl before that. Go down the list. Justin Herbert hasn't done enough to have this kind of swagger. He may never. We're going to find out. But the two quarterbacks, really, because Drew Brees is now retired, who are the top QBs in the game, who are veterans who can see the end of their career because of their age closer than the start of their career, have looked out, have seen what Tom Brady did, have seen what happened, at least from their own perspective, when he got to choose his team and in the end choose his offense. And that's the other thing. Bruce Arians, who is a very impressive offensive mind, was smart enough in the end to make it about Tom Brady. And that took, you know, a chunk of the season. And in some ways, it's broken the NFL, or at least these two guys. Think about, it does, it reminds me of teams trying to keep up with LeBron or trying to keep up with the Dodgers in the NL West. Now, it's worked for the Padres. It did not work for the Diamondbacks when they got Greinke and spent all this money a few years ago with Dave Stewart as the GM. That kind of greatness can break people and teams. And if there's dysfunction this year in Green Bay that impacts the on-field product, and I think the odds of that are somewhere in the 70% range, Aaron Rodgers may not be there. Even if he's there, he may not be at camp for the entirety of it. Even if he is, there might be so much bad blood and ill will. I mean, he's going to, if he plays, he's going to be playing for a GM that he's trying to get fired. So that could impact the on-field product. And Russell Wilson is basically on this other radio show running backwards at full speed away from his own words. Tom Brady, and this is, man, again, we used to give Bill Belichick credit for the mind games that he'd play with other organizations, but maybe it was Brady. There are a lot of threats to the Bucs repeating. I get it. A lot of threats. But certainly Seattle and Green Bay are among them. Real obstacles to the Buccaneers doing it again. And there has been dysfunction placed into each of these teams, into these each of these organizations. There is bad blood, ill will, and awkwardness between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and to a lesser degree, but a real degree, Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, or else he wouldn't have to, Russ, come on the radio and say, the thing that I exactly said 4 months ago, why did anyone pay attention? Because of Tom Brady. And because those guys looking out and saying, why not me? And the answer is because you're not Tom Brady. That's the answer. You're not Tom Brady, and because you don't play for an organization that is, we think, we'll find out, foolish enough to do what Bill Belichick did. And that's the other reality for Russ and for Aaron Rodgers. You better believe, as much as you're watching Tom Brady and learning lessons, the people that run the Seahawks and the Packers are watching Bill Belichick and learning lessons. And they go, oh, man, if Belichick's going to look like a total failure and moron for letting Brady go, we probably should hang, maybe we should hang on to Aaron Rodgers. Maybe we should hang on to Russell Wilson. So the takeaway for me is this. Good for Russell Wilson and all of his awkwardness, because he's an awkward guy, to try and make it right. It's better than nothing. And the Green Bay Packers should not let Aaron Rodgers walk. They shouldn't. Doesn't matter the drama. Doesn't matter the difficulties. Make him retire if he's going to retire. Because the Patriots are a stark reminder that if you let an all-time great quarterback go, that all-time great quarterback is very, very capable of taking someone else to a Super Bowl and winning it while you fail. You don't have to like these guys. You don't have to think, in Russell Wilson's case, they're socially easy to talk to. You don't have to feel like they have your best interest at heart if you're the GM or the head coach. You don't have to say nice things about them over the privacy of your dining room table with your family. But you better make it work, or you're going to end up like the Patriots, and someone else is going to end up like the Bucks. And I want to like Russ so much. I do like Russ. Well, he's a goofball. All right, Joe Theismann is going to join us. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about quarterbacks who have breakout seasons. We'll talk some NFL with our buddy next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, what's going on? Happy Friday. Bill Ryder with you. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. I love this guy. We have had the opportunity on the show to talk to Joe Theismann so many times. Legendary quarterback, analyst, Washington football team, friend of the show, and always gracious to make time for us. Joe, happy Friday, man. Thanks for good to hear your voice to be, and thanks for hanging.
You're welcome, Bill. It's always good to catch up with you. I enjoy our conversations very much. You're very you know, so much about conversations is the questions that are asked, and you're always very good about that. So it's fun.
It's easy for that to seem true when talking to someone like you. I love having guys on that make me look good. All right, let's start there. How good or not do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick can make this Washington football team look? Obviously, the quarterback position's been a bit of a revolving door in Washington since Kirk Cousins left. What's the optimism level? What's your level of optimism for what this guy can do?
I think he can. I think, first of all, he brings stability to the position. He brings veteran leadership. Having watched minicamp and watch him work and talk to some of the players, they have a tremendous amount of confidence in him. And you made a great point. Last year was a revolving door. I think four different guys started last year, and it's really been an inconsistent position for the last 3 or 4 years. And you're right, since Kirk left. But, Ryan wasn't playing bad in Miami when they sat him down last year. That's the whole thing. They just wanted to get two on the field. So he's really coming off of what would be considered a productive year last year. And I think he's got everybody excited. You know, obviously our defense is something special, and I think it could be the best in football this year, if not the first or the second. But, he'll provide a lot of stability to that position, which is something it really needed.
Joe, I'm a Ron Rivera fan. Just talking to people and the culture he creates, the professionalism he brings. You referenced the fact that, I'm going to go with the nickname because I love it, Fitzmagic has had some magic, has earned that nickname, and he was available because that organization wanted to go with the young guy they drafted. What is the realistic upside to this football team? Without getting too in the clouds, right, not the fan view, your view, how good can they be realistically this year?
Well, I'll be doing the 3 preseason games, so I'll get a real good look at them. obviously last year we didn't have anything. So this year you get a chance to really see what they are. I mean, they made some great additions with Samuel as far as speed to the wide receiver position. I think we have depth at the running back position. The offensive line, which was a big key last year, Bill. Nobody gave this offensive line any credit. Well, interestingly enough, they weren't criticized, which means they did a good job. I think that's the way you look at it in the NFL. If nobody's criticizing you, that means you're doing a good job. So you didn't have a lot of conversation about the offensive line. It was more of the understated group on this football team. I think this football team can win the division. I think the Cowboys are still putting pieces together. Dak's coming off of an injury. The Giants added some really good football players. But Daniel, again, I think is going to have to play well. Philadelphia, I think, is somewhat uncertain in what they want to do. We probably have as much stability in the division as anyone, which was a very bad division a year ago. So I'm very optimistic. I think this football team can win, 10 football games, 11 football games. But, you're going to play Tampa Bay. You're going to play Kansas City. Winning the division gives you the opportunity to play all those other teams that won division.
Yeah,
so, and they've got a stretch. They've got a stretch where they'll play like Tampa Bay, Green Bay. I mean, there's a stretch in the middle of the season that is challenging. I was talking to somebody yesterday, which is interesting, and I don't know how many people realize this, but where your bye falls in a year is very, very important. I think Washington's bye somewhere is towards the middle, and that's a very good place to have a bye because you get your people healthy, you get a break before you make a stretch run at the end of the season, and they'll finish with five division games too. They go Cowboys, Eagles, Cowboys,
wow,
Eagles, Giants, I believe. That's the way they finish the season.
Joe Theismann here on the show. Joe, how likely is it, I know you don't know, but your guess, that when you guys play the Packers, that you'll be playing a Packers team with not just an Aaron Rodgers, but, a fairly happy Aaron Rodgers that he's in Green Bay if he's there?
I don't think you're going to see a happy Aaron Rodgers if he's in Green Bay. I really feel like, Aaron is not happy. He's not happy with the organization, and that makes him a not happy football player. Now, if he decides to come back and play football in Green Bay, the players will welcome him back with open arms. The coaches will welcome him back with open arms. The fans will. I don't know if that will solve any problems because he has, this year and then 22 and 23 left on the contract. But I basically think that Aaron is saying to the organization, listen, you like Jordan enough to trade up for him, go with him. Just go with him. I think he'll miss football if he doesn't play, but I'm going to be somewhat surprised if Aaron Rodgers is a Green Bay Packer. And the only thing that I think will get him back on the football field is his love for the game. I think there's a lot of water that's run under that bridge up there. He's not happy with anything. And I really, really feel like if he feels good about wanting to play football, then he'll be there.
Joe Theismann here on the show. Joe, to what degree, if any, do you think for Aaron Rodgers, different situation, but for Russell Wilson, watching Tom Brady leave, choose his team, have the offense eventually sort of meld around what he does, and then watch Tom Brady, throw the trophy from boat to boat and be a champion, has impacted guys like that and their desire to have a lot more say in their world?
Well, I think we're seeing it more and more with players expressing themselves, saying they want more time, they'd like more input. Here's the problem with that a little bit, Bill. Is as a football player, you really have to focus on playing football. This is not an easy job. It's not a 9-to-5 or go and carry your briefcase in. You have to work. You have to work physically. You have to work mentally. You really don't have time to sit down and analyze different people in free agency, different guys on the team that are free agents. You're really involved. You're in the trenches in the day-to-day operations. Who they want to interview as a general manager. If you're a player, what do you know about someone who was really being reviewed or looked at as a general manager? Now you have to take time to study and talk to other people. I do believe that you ought to sit down at the end of the season with some of your stars and say, what do you think? Give me some of your input. This is where you get the on-field input. This is where you get a feel for what the players are doing. But to command and demand certain situations, more and more players are doing it because they're making more and more money, and they're going to be there. You commit somebody to 5, 6, 7 years, and you commit $500 million to them, you'd like to have their input. I talked to a general manager real quick, a really respected general manager in this league earlier this year, and I said, hey, did you ever sit down with your players at the end of the season and get their input? He said, I took five of them. He picked five players off the team and sat down and had a conversation with them about the team, about the direction of the team, about the way things, you know, he thinks they thought things might go. Now, you don't have to follow anything that they suggest, but the fact that you're talking to them and they feel like they're a part of it, I think is very important, especially with the numbers that are out there today for the guys.
Yeah, I mean, managing people well, managing stars well in any business is important. Sometimes that's just, you know, you're the boss. Maybe just subjugate your ego a little bit. And you said it, Joe, put in the time. Joe Theismann here on CBS Sports Radio. Joe, Josh Allen, in Vegas at least, is the second most likely guy, according to Vegas, to lead the NFL in passing yards. Jim Kelly thinks he's going to have a huge year and that Bills offense is going to be a juggernaut. What do you expect? Because, obviously, look, he's been awesome. And I'm not taking anything away from him. It's just it is hard to be successful at that position in the NFL, and it's certainly hard to be the most successful guy at that position in the NFL. What do you think we'll see from Josh Allen this season?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Bill, because I think when Josh came in the league, he was very raw, really raw to the quarterback position and raw to professional football. And I'm encouraged about what I believe Josh can do, because each year we've seen progress. We've seen more patience. We've seen somebody grow at the position. You've heard me say this time and time again in our conversations. The quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the field. So what Buffalo has put together around him, I think, will allow him to be better and better. This team will challenge for a Super Bowl berth, no question in my mind. I think they're that good, and I think he can play at that level. He's become more patient. He's not as wild at the position as he's been, and he'll just get better and better. So this is a very critical year for him, but I also think one that's going to be a very good year for him.
Joe Theismann here on the show. Joe, speaking of you know where Josh Allen was early on, and the guy I'm going to reference is much further along, but I think sometimes we look at star potential and we don't realize that it can take a while to realize that in professional sports. What is a fair level of – what is the fair bar for success for Trevor Lawrence, given the fact massively talented, huge expectations, and at least for me, I'm not a doubter of Urban Meyer so much as Urban Meyer agnostic, because I think he's got a learning curve too.
Yeah, I agree. I think Urban – this is a different world in college football. And, you know, my concern has always been his health. When he took the job as the head coach in Jacksonville, you know, you look at the coaching resume and it's very strong. But yet he had to leave a couple different programs because of health issues. Now, I'll tell you something. Professional football is a heck of a lot more stressful than college football. I mean, maybe college football coaches would argue with me, but I can tell you it's a longer season. It's a tougher season. You're around older guys. You don't get this turnover of players. I think the whole thing is what will Jacksonville do around Trevor Lawrence? His physical talent is a given. We've seen that at Clemson. We've seen his ability to do things at the quarterback position. But it's a different level that he's going to play at. There is a learning curve. And too often we see in sports where we see somebody that has potential and we create that expectation for them that is really unattainable because of the process they have to go through. You know, I go back to Ben Roethlisberger when he was a rookie in Pittsburgh. That was an incredible football team that he joined and really, you know, helped take to a championship. But those are exceptions to the rules.
Joe Theismann here on the show. And Joe, what do you think Ben Roethlisberger, the veteran, the future Hall of Famer, the two-time Super Bowl winner, and a guy that, and I look, I'm one of them. I do not believe he's going to have a massive season. But am I wrong here? What is the likely outcome for the Steelers this year and their quarterback?
I think he has to play solid. I think he has to play good, solid football and let the team do things around him. Now, I think Cleveland's, you know, was a team that they were a play away from beating Kansas City. They've got a heck of a running game. Cincinnati with Joe Burrow is going to be a better football team. We know Baltimore is going to be there with Lamar. And, you know, so to me, I look at Pittsburgh in that division, not like the dominant team they were, but one that's going to have to go game to game and fight for every inch that they get. And Ben has to play consistent football. That's the big thing. You know, he doesn't need to be spectacular. They've got some good receivers. They've got a solid running game. Their offensive line, you know, is something that I think they've been working on. But to me, I really feel like Ben has to play solid football. And that'll be good for him. It'll be good for the Steelers. I don't know if it's going to be enough in that division.
Joe, it's interesting, and we know Aaron Rodgers may be around, but let's just say that he's not. Let's say that he does not play for the Packers, whether he's playing in Denver or the Niners, or he's just retired or whatever it is. Who becomes the best quarterback in that division if Aaron Rodgers is removed from it?
Well, I mean, you got Kirk Cousins.
Yeah,
they brought him into Minnesota to win a championship. You know, he was going to be the thing, and Kirk, I think, needs to. He's been consistent. He just needs to try and take it up a level. Who's going to be the quarterback in Chicago? Is Justin Fields?
I hope so. I mean, am I allowed to say that as a Bears fan? I hope so.
I'm saying you're taking a young guy and giving him a chance to be able to play at that position. So you got Minnesota, Green Bay, Chicago, and
Jared Goff would be interesting.
Yeah, Detroit. Detroit just has found ways to sort of be just there. Nobody ever really talks about in a stretch through the season where the Lions are making a run. How good is that football team? I think that's a big question. And again, you have the adjustment going in with Jared taking over at the quarterback position. The Rams, for example, in their division, they went and got Matthew Stafford. Based, I believe, on the same principle that Minnesota went and got Kirk Cousins when they made the deal with him. So, that's the position that they believe is going to get them over the hump. I mean, for the Rams, it's Super Bowl or bust with Matthew. I think they feel like they have everything in place there, and now they've got somebody that is a little bit different, a little bit more aggressive quarterback.
What's really interesting about that comparison, Joe, you're right. And Cousins, look, Cousins have been great in the regular season, but hasn't won big games, and they haven't gotten any closer to the Super Bowl than before he arrived. What's your confidence level, Matt Stafford, who's not exactly a guy bursting with postseason experience, is going to be able to get them over the hump when you get to big-time games in December, and if they're good enough, beyond that?
Well, it's a great question and an interesting scenario because the guy I think of is Ryan Tannehill. Matthew he had flashes and moments in Detroit where we just went, wow, okay, they're on their way. And then Calvin was a big part of what they did. So now all of a sudden you take Ryan Tannehill, who everybody said, oh, Miami, he can't play. He's not that good. All of a sudden he goes to Tennessee. 2 years ago, he's a game away from the Super Bowl. Had a really solid year last year. And Tennessee is going to be one of those teams in the AFC that you're going to look at and say, wow, with the addition of Julio Jones, this is some kind of a football team. I really feel like Matthew Stafford with Sean McVay as the coordinator can be an entirely different quarterback than he was in Detroit. I think the system does make a difference. Who's calling the plays does make a difference, as much as the people around you do make a difference. So I would expect Matthew Stafford not to be the same quarterback that he was in Detroit. I think we're going to see a different version of him, and I think it'll be a more productive version.
Joe Theismann, I love having you on the show. The insight is great, and I look forward to talking a lot of football with you in the coming months.
Bill, so do I. Great catching up.
You too. Appreciate you. Joe Theismann on the program. Theismann7 on Twitter. That is a great point. The Tannehill comparison. And I like that Titans team a lot. Man, Joe's a good dude. Love the insight. I'm getting excited. NFL is so tantalizingly close. All right. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Buy or sell. And a difficult question for Diesel I'm going to throw in there next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Went on the radio in Miami yesterday with my guy talking to Crowder. The Crowder was off. And it's such a funny show down in Miami. Those guys are awesome. And I didn't know this. Last week, it was National Tell the Truth Day. And so on the show, they told some horrible truths. Hockman, I think his truth was that for years he's been pretending that he's watched The Godfather and he uses the analogies and the comparisons because I did one on the air, but he's actually never seen it. And so I told him mine. I'm not even going to tell you what their producers was because it's horrible. I just can't say it on the air. But I'm going to try to get one on a D-cell. Mine is not that bad. I can't stop watching Virgin River on Netflix. I have to know if Jack and Mel are going to get together because I was bored one night 5 days ago. Because I'm on the road for a month, right away from my wife and kids. I'm like, oh, I'll watch something on Netflix. Do you ever go to Netflix and just scroll for an hour? Kind of like I'm old enough back in the Blockbuster days. I go to Blockbuster for 2 hours and come home without a movie because I told her I didn't know what to pick. And it was the number one trending show. I'm like, oh, okay. And I started it. And by the time I realized it was a soap opera, it was too late. I'm mad at myself, but I am watching Virgin River. So let's just say, Tom DeCelestino, it was National Tell the Truth Day. Is there a truth you've never, that you haven't told that's embarrassing that you can share?
The only person I've ever told this is my wife. So,
okay.
So this still counts because I have not told friends. And I've probably gone out of my way to kind of cover this up a little. I enjoy Nickelback.
That's a good one. Why?
They have some catchy songs. Don't get me wrong. I am not going out and purchasing every Nickelback album. I catch a Nickelback song on the radio. I don't necessarily change the station. I don't mind Nickelback. And everyone out there is lying if they say they can't stand them. They have some catchy songs.
Can you give me one of their songs? I'd like to just, what's one of their songs?
I mean, their most famous is probably, honestly, their first song, How You Remind Me.
Oh, yeah. How are you? I can't sing it.
I mean, we're probably talking circa 2001
It's
there.
The guttural, like, love song.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
It gets you real emotional.
This is great, because I didn't know what to get you for Christmas when that rolls around, but a bunch of, and I'm being serious, Nickelback shirts. Congratulations.
See, like, that's what happens when you admit to someone that you don't mind Nickelback. Not necessarily that you're their biggest fan, but if you were to tell someone, you know what? I don't hate Nickelback. That's the kind of reaction you get.
I feel like that's a good one, but I also feel like you're also definitely using this as a shield for the real answer that's deep down. But that's fine. You do you. That's okay.
I mean, that answer is very real because my wife can attest to it because her reaction when I told her, you know what? I don't hate them was, wait, what? Come again?
I mean, Nickelback's terrible, but I don't turn it off. Well, sometimes I do. It depends. Nickelback is the gone in 60 seconds of songs. Gone in 60 seconds is a terrible movie, but if it's on TV, I'm going to watch it 9 out of 10 times with Nicolas Cage and it's all Angelina Jolie. It's a terrible movie. If Marco's listening, Marco, just think about yours while Tom and I slide over to buy or sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, here we go, Bill. Let's keep the NFL talk going. Buccaneers wide receiver Chris Godwin and Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson were both unable to agree upon long-term deals with their teams before the franchise tag deadline, so both players will be unable to negotiate long-term deals until after the season. Buy or sell that both the Buccaneers and Bears offenses would take a significant step back without Chris Godwin and Allen Robinson.
I mean, I'll buy it just based on the Bears. You're going to throw the football to.
Buy.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I understand the economics of the NFL, and the reality is you can't pay everyone who has been a contributor or might be of some value. In Tampa Bay, I think it's a little bit different. I think we've seen they have some options, and they have a quarterback who made a career of making it work with guys who aren't exactly Hall of Fame wide receivers. But in Chicago, it's the exact opposite situation. He doesn't want to be there, by the way, but he's a talented dude, and you've got to have multiple targets for Justin Fields whenever he takes over.
So I'll take it one step further. Do you see him being in Chicago long term?
I'm going to sell that.
Sell.
Based on this, based on the fact he doesn't want to be there, based on the fact that they're the Bears and they never do anything right, no.
I'm trying to get you in a better mood. Maybe I thought,
you can't.
Yeah, you know what? He'll get a long-term deal done. Things will look positive for the Bears' offense.
But do you really believe that? I don't. I mean, I actually am tentatively hopeful about Justin Fields, but it more feels like drafted the right guy to ruin him. Rather, right? The Bears have become a place where you go to fail as a quarterback.
See, I think it's going to be twofold with Robinson. I think he's going to have a big year, which means the Bears' offense will play well at points this year. But I think coming off a big year, he's going to want to get his money, and I don't think it's going to be from Chicago.
I don't think he does not want to be a Bear. So if he fails, if it doesn't go well, he's going to probably correctly attribute it to the offense, the offensive coordinator slash head coach, and the quarterback. And to your point, if he has a big year, it'll be his Shawshank Redemption moment. Oh, I'm free. Go. Let's go drink some pina coladas in Mexico. Or, in this case, you know, insert some other team. L.A. with the Rams.
All right, but let's turn our attention to the running back position. During his appearance on the Best Business Show, Giants running back Saquon Barkley explained his thought process on trying to secure his financial future for him and his family.
You know, you see the KDs, the LeBrons, the Bradys of the world. And, you know, you want to create generational wealth. And you can't do that just off of, you know, especially in the sport that I play, in the position I play, and coming off an injury. That's kind of stuff that kind of makes more sense. When you sit out of football for a whole year, you realize that this game could be taken away from you. And so you got to find ways to invest, find ways to put yourself in the right positions and in contact with the right people to help your money grow.
Talk a little bit about just how you see Bitcoin and then kind of what your future plans are.
Well, obviously, you see inflation. You see how high it is right now, and you learn that you can't save yourself to wealth. You can't. That's why I'm going to be taking my marketing money in Bitcoin.
Buy or sell Saquon Barkley's thinking outside the box about his long-term finances.
Aggressive buy.
Buy.
This is great advice for any athlete listening, any non-athlete listening. You make $40,000 a year, you make $40 million a year, you make in between. Saving your money, and look, for most of us, our opportunity to save our money is not generational wealth. It's max out your 401k, save your money, don't get into debt, try to have a little bit of a nest egg. But for someone like Saquon, I think it's really smart. Look, I'm not a rich person, and I've never been a rich person. I don't come from a rich family, but I live in a community of very wealthy people, and it has made me realize the degree to which there are a lot of folks out there who come from generational wealth. And a lot of folks out there in LA, certainly, who have made a lot of money and have squandered it. I think it's really smart and really wise. And I never, ever judge anyone for making money or not making money, right? Whatever you find value or meaning in life, you do you. I love the fact this guy's thinking long term. And he's right. Very few of us will ever have the chance for generational wealth, the ability to make sure your family and their family are secure in a financial sense. And that he's on the brink of that possibility and is thinking about it is very, very smart.
All right, let's get to some hoops here. Wizards All-Star and Team USA guard Bradley Beal will not be on the roster for the Tokyo Games later this month as he entered health and safety protocols yesterday because of possible exposure to COVID-19. Buy or sell that Team USA will be impacted offensively without Bradley Beal's scoring ability.
I'm going to sell, actually.
Sell.
I think Beal's amazing. He's obviously a ridiculous scorer. But I said this on CBS Sports HQ last night. I think Anthony Edwards can step in there, get great experience, and score. They're going to be more talented than every single team on the floor. They're not going to live or die on whether Bradley Beal scores points or any player. It's going to be can they stay healthy? Do they have the right energy level? Are we seeing some of their struggles? They've lost two of their three exhibition games because they've just run out of steam. It's not a talent issue. It's not. And so I think Beal's amazing. But whatever has troubled them, it's not they don't have enough talent. It's a losing Beal. I do not think that is going to be significant.
Let's squeeze in some college football. Defensive coordinator Brett Venable for Clemson is now the highest paid assistant coach in all of college football. Earlier this week, he agreed to a contract extension that will pay him $2.5 million through 2026. Venable is now 50 years old and has been Clemson's DC since 2012. And has been a college coach in some capacity since 1996. Buy or sell that Brett Venable should have made the move to be a head coach at a lesser program by now.
I'll sell.
Sell.
I mean, here's my deal. I know that he makes $2.5 million, so that's a bonus. That's in the good job category. I know that he will consistently be in contention for national championships as a critical piece of the leadership of that program. That's a bonus. I don't know him. But I would presume, since he's sticking around, he's happy there. Those things matter, right? You like the town, you like the city, you like your boss, you like your community. Glory comes in different forms. And if this guy feels good about being the defensive coordinator of that team and being constantly in contention, and he's really handsomely paid, good for that dude.
All right, let's finish up with some baseball here. The second half of the MLB season was supposed to get underway last night with a standalone game with the Yankees hosting the Red Sox in the Bronx, but six Yankees players tested positive for COVID-19, so Major League Baseball decided to postpone the game. Buy or sell that Major League Baseball needs to reinforce stricter COVID-19 guidelines so the rest of the season can go on as planned?
Man, I hate this question because it does sort of like bleed into just real life. I'm going to buy it.
Buy.
Here's the thing. People get mad. I don't really care. You're not going to get... This is what I wish would be reported and discussed more, but it goes up against politically controversial issues, which people don't like to engage in. I get it. And the privacy of people's medical decisions. But I find it very unlikely that you're having these folks being COVID positive that Bradley... I'd like to know the vaccination status of the people that have tested positive. That is what I'm saying. Like, the real enforcement has to be if you have COVID, if you are in the protocols, you miss a ton of time and the games go on. People have a right, absolutely, to not be vaccinated, even though I think that is personally, I think that's a huge mistake. But it can't hold up an entire league. So yeah, reinforce the protocols, but I think also do it for people who aren't. You have a right not to be vaccinated, but the science says that it creates risk, and therefore these are the rules that you live by. The NFL has the right model. It doesn't matter if guys threaten to retire. If you want to get vaccinated, here's what happens to you in terms of the rules. If you don't, that's your right, but you're going to go through much more stringent realities. That's what a Major League Baseball should do. All right, so last week, good stuff by D-Snow. Last week was National Tell the Truth Day. And we've just told some truth. Marco Belletti, did you have an embarrassing, like, my truth is I can't stop watching Virgin River on Netflix because I didn't know it was a soap opera when I started watching it in my hotel room like 5 days ago. That's my truth.
There's nothing that jumps out. I mean, is it a guilty pleasure, the fact that I love Nicolas Cage movies because they're awful?
No,
is that
it's something that you've never admitted. I think I would embrace that. I'm with you. Gone in 60 Seconds is the Citizen Kane of bad movies. I mean, that.
Oh, it's great because it's so awful.
So terrible. I mean, that's the only movie in which Angelina Jolie is both awful and not particularly good looking. I mean, like, it's just, how do you even pull that off? It's an impossibility. But they did it. They did it.
How about this one? Because I don't think I've ever actually admitted this.
Okay.
Every time, like if you're in like a supermarket, because there's not a lot of places you'll hear this stuff. But when I hear old Paula Abdul, I can still know all the lyrics to those songs simply because I was a child when it came out and I loved it because I fell in love with her at whatever, 7. So I can't sit here and tell you that I'll bust it out in the car because it's hard to come across it. But if I do, I'll still be singing it in the car with the windows up.
Look, it's a good
How about that one?
It's a step in the right direction. I was really looking for something like I'm Marco Belletti and I watched Project Runway. And I think Steve should have won. But we're, you know what? Whatever. I like where we got to. I like the Paul Abdul. Next time that you're on, if you find some, you know, you want to unburden some secret, right? Like you cry. I don't know. You watch Love Actually once a month and cry alone because it's so emotional. We're not going to judge you. America's going to judge you. But I'm not going to judge you, Marco.
I won't worry about that. I'll say this. Did you ever see Beautiful Boy?
I don't even know what that is.
Steve Carell. Look, watch it simply because it's a great movie. Don't watch it because if you're anything like me, and I was like an idiot 3 o'clock in the morning where I couldn't sleep, and I'm watching this movie, bawling my eyes out for like an hour and a half, like a woman. I mean, honestly, I was, you know, like the ugly cry where like your chest is heaving.
Oh, yeah, it's hard.
That's how I felt through 90% of this movie.
I love it. All right, we got there. Beautiful boy, beautiful story. Marco Belletti now with a beautiful update.
All right, Bill, buying real gold and silver, the kind you can hold in your hands, is much easier than you think. Just call the Oxford Gold Group right now, 833-899-GOLD, to get your free gold and silver investment guide. Round 2 of the Open's going on right now. Colin Morikawa finished up with a 6-under for the day. He's in the clubhouse. He's got the lead. He's at 9-under. It's a 2-shot advantage on both Jordan Spieth and Louis Oosthuizen. Spieth is currently through 7. Oosthuizen is through 5. Of course, he was your leader after round 1. Getting a little bit more clarity on the Richard Sherman situation in Seattle. The free agent corner was released without bail on 4 misdemeanors. He's now free on a few stipulations. He cannot have contact with his father-in-law. He cannot consume alcohol or other non-prescription drugs, and he cannot possess a firearm. COVID-19 caused all kinds of issues in baseball with the Yankees and Red Sox game postponed. 6 Yankee players tested positive. That includes Aaron Judge, obviously coming back from the All-Star game. So contact tracing going on all over the league. Yankee-Red Sox game for tonight. Still no word if they're actually going to play that. Cubs started their fire sale. They sent outfielder Jock Peterson to the Braves for minor leaguer Bryce Ball. Team USA, another hiccup. Kevin Love now reportedly will not be with the team for the Olympics in Tokyo thanks to that calf injury that cost him basically half the season this year. He joins Bradley Beal. He's not playing for Team USA with the Olympics as well. That's because he tested positive for COVID-19.
I'm dying for him. We all are. You know, since he's a little kid, this has been a dream of his. And he was playing great. He was having fun. You know, being a big part of us coming together chemistry-wise and as a family.
That's head coach Greg Popovich, who may also lose Jeremy Grant as well. He's in the safety protocol, might be able to be back in time for the Olympic Games. As for their exhibition with Australia that was set for tonight, that has been canceled. One other note for you, Tom Brady reportedly played the entire season with a torn MCL, but it did not stop him from helping the Bucs win the Super Bowl, of course, the seventh ring in Brady's career. Bill?
Buddy, appreciate you. All right, let's do this. Let's do Bum of the Week. Marco's not going to be nominated, even though we tend to nominate people on the show, because that was an amazing update and a searing honesty about beautiful boy. But we've got some good ones for you, including a certain UFC fighter. Bum of the Week up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. It's Writer Than You. I'm Bill Ryder here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Friday. Appreciate you. This week's Smart Decision is brought to you by NHTSA. While there's no replacing one of the top players in the sport, the Braves needed to find a way to add offense to their lineup after losing Ronald Acuna Jr. for the season with that torn ACL last week. Yesterday, the Braves did just that, making a trade with the Cubs for power bat Jock Peterson in exchange for a minor league player. This week's Smart Decision was brought to you by Levy NHTSA. A child in a hot vehicle can lead to their death very quickly. If you see a child left unattended, call 911, but if the child looks unresponsive, do what it takes to get him or her out safely. Paid for by NHTSA. Jock Peterson's had an interesting career, and if I can just go back a little bit to the idea of curses and bad decisions, which some of you roll your eyes at, that guy was an all-star several years ago and competed in the Home Run Derby when he was younger, and there was a lot of talk from people who said, don't do it, the Home Run Derby will screw up your swing. And he hasn't really been the same since then. And that Acuna injury is such a bummer. I'm so tired of seeing injuries in the NBA. I really am hoping it won't continue into the NFL season. Because it shouldn't, because this MLB season, for the most part, had relatively normal amount of time off. Pretty normal times. And the NFL is obviously on its normal calendar. But I'm worried about just some of the things we've seen in the NBA, in the NFL, combined with the fact it's an extra game. I know that doesn't sound like a lot. It's a lot of wear and tear to add to the human body. All right, let's do this. We do it every Friday. We crown the person who has covered themselves in glory, at least if glory were being a total bum. It's time for Bum of the Week.
Hallelujah, I'm a bum.
All he's doing is a whole lot of damn nothing.
I'm a bum.
You rotten bum!
I'm a bum.
They're a bunch of bums.
I'm a bum. I'm a bum. I'm a bum.
Who's the bum this week? Let's find out on Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio.
We don't have 11 nominees this week. I want to credit the world of sports and this show for not having quite as much bumdom, and none of us are nominated. I mean, I don't know if D-Cell will ever be nominated. Every single person that's ever worked on the show has been Bum of the Week. I think Clue got it like 11 times. It's true. Like, not true. Three. Stu got it a few. DiBenedetto got it once because I don't want to make him, he didn't like it. I think he got it once, maybe twice. I've been it several times. But D-Cell named his kid after me. William Joseph Ryder DeCelestino. That buys you. Maybe I'm almost nominated for that joke, but I don't think it is a joke. That actually is my name. It's William Joseph. But Conor McGregor is certainly nominated. And not even for the ass-kicking that he took, which it was, even though there was an injury. Man, I love saying that because D-Cell looks so nervous. A reach for his dump button. I can say that, I think. Said it before. Lukewarm thumbs up from D-Cell. McGregor is on here for saying that he was already hurt, had a hairline fracture in the UFC, and Dana White knew about it before he got into the octagon. If that's true, then don't bring it up. Don't bring it up. You knew, you made a decision, you went in there, deal with it. You wanted all that money, right? You wanted to take that cash? I don't want to hear about it afterwards. Chris Paul is nominated for his abysmal performance in Game 3. 100%. And I don't care, those of you that don't want to hear this. So are the officials. Missing the Devin Booker call. DeAndre Ayton playing 24 minutes because of garbage foul trouble. Devin Booker getting into garbage foul trouble. I don't want to see the reverse tomorrow. I don't want to see Chris Middleton pick up three fouls in the first quarter because he looked at somebody the wrong way. But a guy who feels like the leader in the clubhouse, but not actually in the clubhouse of golf because he's been awful. I think he's 3-over right now. But for Bum of the Week is Bryson DeChambeau. This dude, who, by the way, has been with the same golf company for a long time, has a relationship with these guys, gets paid a lot of money to play with the clubs that he plays with, blamed his driver, not the guy that drives you to and from the golf course. You know, the big one you pull out, and then, like, if you're me, you hit it 300 beautiful yards, but 150 of them go, I'm left-handed, go straight left. Oops. DeChambeau blamed his opening round at the Open across the pond on his driver.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks. It's not a good face for me, and we're still trying to figure out how to make it good on the miss hits. And, you know, I'm living on the razor's edge, like I've told people for a long time. And, you know, when I did get it outside of the fairway, like in the first cut and whatnot, I catch jumpers out of there, and I couldn't control my wedges. So it's quite finicky for me because it's a golf course that's pretty short. And so when I hit driver up there and it doesn't necessarily go in the fairway, it's right in the first cut or whatever, it's tough for me to get it out onto the green and control that. But when it's in the middle of the fairway, like I had it on 18, I was able to hit a nice shot in there to 11 feet and almost made birdie.
The driver sucks. I don't suck. I'm really good. I actually was 4-under, but the driver, unfortunately, was 6-over, so that's why we ended up where we ended up. I mean, that's one of the sponsors, and I won't give you all the details, but one of the guys whose job is to represent, I'm not going to say the name of the club because I don't want to give any bad pub, whose job is to represent that particular company, that particular brand, but for always making it about you, for never taking responsibility, for blaming a club. By the way, golfers choose the clubs in their bag. It's not like there's a big part of golf where you go into the lottery and you pull, oh no, I got Titleist. Damn it. It's not how it works. That was his choice. Bryson DeChambeau, a worthy heir of Jay Cutler's legacy of bumdom. Congratulations, bro. You're the bum of the week.
That's your bum of the week.
I detest you!
On Writer Than You.
I mean, get out of here. Although, you know, what I want is a live camera on Brooks Koepka every time DeChambeau does something, says something stupid, puts his foot in his mouth, misses a putt, whatever it might be. Cool story coming out of St. George's golf course. I think it's Royal St. George's. Jordan Spieth playing really, really well. Really well. 2-under today, 7-under overall, couple strokes off the lead. I'd love to see that guy reclaim a little bit of his swagger. And I also like the fact in my gambling syndicate with my brother, he bet on Spieth and I think a couple other guys to win the whole thing. Go, Bobby. D-Cell, got any big plans this weekend? I'm just going to be in New York City. I'll be on CBS Sports HQ all day tomorrow. I think it's 11 a.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Eastern, a halftime postgame. I'm going to watch a lot of Virgin River on Netflix because I can't stop watching that stupid show. Mr. DeCelestino, any big plans other than just trying to keep your head above water in your second, or I guess about to enter the third week of parenthood?
I hope my weekend plans involve sleep. Something that I haven't got much of. Other than sleeping, I don't think we have anything planned for this weekend. Well, that's not true, actually.
Oh.
We have newborn pictures.
That's exciting. Is that a family member taking the photos, or do you get a professional?
We do have a photographer, but she is coming to the house, so we don't have to go anywhere. So that's a nice plus.
So let's say we decide to play a little joke on Rebecca. Let's say we decide you called Rebecca, and we're like, hey, Bill and I are going drinking Friday and Saturday night. I'm not going to be around from about 5 p.m. to midnight. How would that go over? The face you're making. The people can't see the face, though, is the problem.
Not well at all.
Okay.
Not well at all. And my wife normally, obviously, before we had the baby, would not care one bit. She would tell me, go have fun. since the baby is here and she's also not getting any sleep, that would not go over well at all.
And you couldn't get a free night out to hang out with the guy that you named the kid after. That, even though we have that connection.
Yeah. That card will work.
Okay.
But not in this case.
Well, I'm going to be in New York a lot for CBS Sports HQ work. I would say I'll be here 1 week out of every 2 months over the next year. So in about a year, that feels like, jokes aside, I think a year is probably, I think the baby's got to be sleeping through the night plus 4 months. So maybe in a year, we'll go out and we'll hang out a little bit. Unlike Andrew Bogish, I'm actually serious. I actually want to hang out. I know you'll actually come into town.
That'll happen. That will happen.
Great work. Great work. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to work. And seriously, Tom, congratulations on William Joseph DeCelestino, little Will. Happy for him. Happy for Rebecca. Happy for you. That is really, really cool and really, really exciting. My brother's name is John Robert, just for the next one, if you want to just keep it in, you know, if you have any, if you're looking for inspiration.
Wrote that down. Thank you.
What is Stuart's middle name?
That's a great
question. Stu Kovacs DeCelestino is not the route I would go. That's my personal view. All right, let's say this. Last thought. I think the Suns win tomorrow. I'm not going to bet at -4. I think it could be a close game. We'll hit it on Monday. We appreciate your listening. I'm Bill Ryder. Thanks to Joe Theismann. Thanks to D-Cell. And thank you. Have a great weekend. This is CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.